Blog Talk Radio. You're listening to The Whole Scoop Radio with your host, Carol Ferraci, your health and wellness resource, where you get the whole scoop and nothing but the scoop.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to The Whole Scoop. We have such a great show tonight. I mean, this is a special event. I can't wait to get into it. I am your host, Carol Ferraci, registered licensed dietitian. We are a health and wellness radio show where we promote health and wellness for you. You know by now that all of our guests are highly qualified. That is the stipulation to be on this show. So tonight is one of those nights where it's rare. We have three experts, and they are going to share with us some of their deepest, darkest, innermost findings on how we, meaning you, me, and everybody else, can find our own roads to wellness. So all that being said, of course, I got to do the business of I'm going to remind you that while everybody is highly credentialed, it's important to seek medical advice prior to implementing any and all interventions discussed on this program. So there's the business of that. Call-in number is 347-855-8894. That's 347-855-8894. You can also direct questions and comments to our Facebook Whole Scoop Blog Talk Radio group. Please do that. Please get in on that group. Let us know what you like, what you don't like. Tell us what you want to hear. We really like that. We really like to get your feedback on that. We also have a website, thewholescoopradio.com, where you'll find more information on our guests and some of the topics. So that's thewholescoopradio.com. And go ahead and follow us on The Whole Scoop on Facebook, 347-855-8894. We will take questions later on. I'll call out the last four digits of your telephone number. Remember, if you want to ask questions, to press the number 1 to get in the queue. That lets me know that you have a question, and I know that I can call on your number. So all that being said, three of our most popular guests are with us tonight. I mean, these guys, I get so much good feedback when they're on just one at a time. I can't imagine what tonight's going to be like. We've got Paul Pock, who, if you remember, if you were following us a couple weeks ago, he was with us a couple weeks ago and did a fabulous show on cranial unwinding. That is his specialty. He's a massage therapist, and he has become widely accepted in the massage therapist world and elsewhere throughout healthcare as a cranial unwinding specialist, specializing in pain management. We're so fortunate to have him on. And joining him is Joanne Ficaney, who, if you remember Joanne, she has had major multiple tips on how we can get in touch with ourselves. She's a massage therapist who has multiple certifications and has such detailed experience that every time she's on here, I continue to learn from her, and I'm so grateful that she's here. I'm going to let them tell you, each guest tell you how you can get in touch with them. Susan Schatzer, you know Susan. Everybody knows Susan. That should be a new saying. Everybody knows Susan. She is a 7-time number one international best-selling author, and that number 7 just happened for her, so we're very excited. She is an international facilitator for consciousness and a consciousness revolutionary. She's appeared in multiple networks in U.S. and Canada. You guys know all this about these, so I really kind of want to get into tonight's show, which is finding your road to wellness. So let me bring them on and say hello. So I think this is Paul, Susan,
yes,
and Joanne. Are we here?
Yes, we are.
No? All right, cool.
Yep.
Woo-hoo. Hey, that's pretty cool. You heard my intro, and what I wanted to do in having this show, this is more of a 3-panel discussion for me being the facilitator on how people can find their own way to their own path of wellness. We talk all the time individually. When I have you guys on the show, when we talk individually, we talk about all kinds of things like, well, we have to get in touch with the energy, get in tune with this, do whatever. And sometimes I just feel like when we do it on the show, there's always that person or those one or two people that are kind of tracking with us, but not really, and they're enjoying the show because I get great feedback. But at the same time, they're not sure on how to take the information away and make it work for them. And that's why I'm so thrilled that you guys are here. Thank you so much for being here tonight. And I'm going to do one other piece of business I got to tell everybody about. We are going to have a special show next week on Thursday at 7 p.m. Dr. Raj Hulan's coming back to do the insomnia show that we could not broadcast about a month ago. We were unable to broadcast. So if you were looking for that show, it will be next week on the 16th. Anyway, I'm sorry, guys. I had to do that. Right in the middle of what I was trying to go with you. Don't you love it? The flight of ideas just amazes me. So anyway, what I'm really feeling is like if we take a diagnosis, say, and I know, Susan, this is something near to you. Paul, this is something you work on. Joanne, you work on some other issues, but you can tune into the energy of this, and we can all talk about how a person can kind of direct themselves or find themselves in a manner of how they can get to a wellness list. So let's take somebody that may be diagnosed with, say, MS, okay? So if I'm that person and I'm devastated, and I don't know what to do with it, and I just know that I have doctors telling me I have to do this, do that, and my whole life is going to change, and I should prepare to be debilitated, or I should prepare to not be able to have the activity level that I normally do, and, you know, it's scary. But in the back of my mind, I remember the whole Scoop Radio show, and I remember them having conversations like this about people that, A, Susan, who had this kind of diagnosis, and B, Paul, who works with people like this and they get very good results. But how do I find those people, or how do I even begin to get in touch with those people when I am that person and I am completely overwhelmed? And so how do I bring myself to a level where I can get in touch and in tune to get to that wellness road? Susan, I'm gonna say, Susan, I know this is something that you can relate to personally and can give us all kinds of information, but maybe we can just kind of do a group discussion. Start with Susan.
Sure, I'd be more than happy to. Hey, everybody. Thank you, Carol, so much for inviting me to be a part of this incredible show, this amazing topic, and to be able to hang out with two of my buds, Paul and Joanne. Yeah, so,
yay!
Yeah, 8 months after my son was born, I was diagnosed with MS. I lost the vision in my right eye and had optical neuritis, and then pretty much just started, rolled right into a trial drug study with chemo and steroids, which sort of stopped it in its tracks. But yeah, it was really incredible. And what I learned energetically with it was, and this was so hard for me to like kind of get a grasp on things, because your point of view creates your reality. So I was being asked by holistic practitioners and, you know, alternative medicine facilitators, you know, what is it that you're trying to get out of? You know, what's your point of view? What's happening? And I was in a, you know, pretty abusive relationship, my marriage. And, you know, I also grew up with Catholicism, Carol. So I was like, you know, I can't really, you know, leave. You know, they don't believe in divorce. And, you know, my mom, my grandmother, the whole family was, you know, a part of that. And his family was also Catholic. So it was one of those things where you were like, you know, you're in. And, you know, we had a newborn, you know, an 8-month-old. So, you know, like actually divorce wasn't like part of the game plan. It was sort of like stick it out kind of a thing. So what do I do? I went and created something that no one could judge me on, which was a chronic illness. And it also was the thing that my husband at the time, you know, could not deal with. So he left, he walked, and I am so incredibly grateful for that man because he really made it so easy for me, you know, with that. But that was my point of view, was I needed to get out of it, and I didn't know how to get out of it. So I went and created something that would allow me to get out of it, and it was easy. Yeah. So it was pretty much acknowledging my point of view that delivered that into my body and into my reality. And then from there, I've been, you know, working energetically with Access Consciousness and also with a couple other alternative doctors. And I have zero symptoms. And that's not supposed to happen.
That is not supposed to happen.
Yeah.
Susan, you said something about your point. Our point of view creates our reality. Is that something that, you know, I really kind of want to, I think that is the crux of this entire show. And Paul and Joanne, would you agree? That statement alone, when you say finding your road to wellness, I think it should, you know, maybe we should have named the show something else that you just summed that all up. Your point of view creates your reality. I think if we continue to repeat that tonight through what we talk about, I think that will help get the message through. What do you guys think?
Yeah. Brilliant. All for it.
Sure.
Okay. So, Paul, when you're working with somebody with, you know, MS or some chronic illness that you know has caused them similar issues, energetically, I know physically, you're shifting some things, but you're doing a lot of work energetically, and so what are you finding with their point of view, their wellness, and their road to wellness?
Well, I think that I love what Susan said about the abusive, you know, marriage and the this and that. And the common thing I see is you know, abuse can happen a lot of different ways. And, you can do it to yourself. And typically we do it to ourselves and we'll quote unquote hire someone to do that. What I mean by that is in our relationships. And it's not a judgment. We all go through this, you know, we all, you know, decide. And, there's a huge component of that. And the first thing I do is when I talk to somebody is I assess where they're at, because there's some people who will defend their, you know, their victimhood, and to their death. So you need to, you know, find creative ways of having them explore their reality, because, you know, thoughts are real. And what I mean by that, everybody's like, oh yeah, thoughts are real. But specifically, they affect your heart and how your heart beats. They can measure that and tell you what state of emotion you're in by how your heart is beating. Not just the number of beats per minute, but how it's beating in the minute. And they can, you know, do drug panels on your blood and tell you if you're stressed out. You know, the way you think and the way that you are affects your entire physiology. And Candace Pert, who is a brilliant, neuroscientist, and developed all this stuff for Prozac and all the drugs now that are commonly used. And her, thing is that, you know, your thoughts are real and they make yourselves permeable to certain diseases. And all wellness begins with emotional wellness and claiming your life and claiming your worth. And that's really hard for a lot of people, and I don't want to minimize that it's a tough road, and a lot of people just can't make it. you know. But if you make it just a little ways, you've done well. You know, so you can't make it if you don't ever start.
I think I want to say, too, that if you can't make it and your chronic illness starts to expand and progress, it doesn't mean you failed. It just means that that's where your state of mind is at the moment, and
yeah,
where how your body, your, yeah. Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I think, and I really want to get that across to your listeners is, you know, we all tend to, you know, and I'll own it for me. You know, it's like, if I'm not doing well, then I'm judging myself as bad. Like, oh, you're a bad, oh, you're a failure, you know, fill in the blank. And it's completely not helpful. It's not accurate, and it doesn't work. And, you know, but it's such an easy place to go. And, you know, our culture supports it. So, but really just beginning to claim your own worth and to claim, you know, your health is, I've seen miracles, you know, nothing less than miracles. And I think, and along the way, there's things to do. Like I always recommend diet. Dr. Wall, you know, does the paleo diet, cure yourself. I would recommend go see you, Carol. Because you know, I don't know about gluten intolerances, and there are things to do along the way, and on the way to wellness, there's many ways of going at it. You know, from my perspective, I get the energetic balance going on, you know, and that sounds really airy-fairy, but it's a very real thing. I mean, you know, people, they don't put a heart monitor on you, and you don't go, oh, my God, look, they're feeling the energy. You know, it's like, no, this is science. This is what your body does. And so how they can tell where you are in your sleep is by the electromagnetic signatures of your brain. It's like, no, this is real, and it really works, and it's really important. Anyway, I'm going to shut up now and let somebody else talk.
I was going to let Joanne jump in for a minute here and see, unless she was able to take a nice little nap there or something, you know. But
I know,
I'm
right?
Teasing. Yeah, I'm teasing.
Wow.
But I know you have. I know you're thinking a whole lot, Joanne. So feel free to jump right in and say what you're thinking.
Well, when Paul was touching on some of the aspects of treatment and everything like that, he touched on the word dying and everything. And I was thinking about some of the patients that sometimes don't realize that they're in the middle of, say, grieving or depression and things along this line, and how well our work covers that aspect of helping them, releasing endorphins, to better deal with, you know, adding some hormone, adding some serotonin naturally being released through the body with milking or energetically and cranial psychotherapy work, and, you know, helping with that stress of it and the helping to lower, like, their blood pressure with it. And a big thing is getting enough sleep and helping with anxiety or anxiousness. And, you know, when you start getting these balanced and everything like that, they're getting better sleep, they're staying better hydrated, the hormones are leveling out, their attitude is more positive, and they can see, that's what Paul and I and Susan also, you know, when you can see a shift in a person after a session, it just warms your heart where you're just like, this is why I do this. Wouldn't you agree?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, the interesting thing that I'm hearing from all of you, whether we're talking about MS or we're talking about grieving, what I'm hearing is that all of this is tied together because, you know, it's conceivable that you have a person that's grieving that goes into a chronic illness that then becomes a diagnosis of, say, MS or Crohn's disease or, you know, you pick it. Because if we're not in touch with what's actually happening or we're not able to deal with what's actually happening, the body then reacts. and the body says, hey, you know what, I'm wearing down and I can't hold on. And then we develop a chronic inflammatory response. So, Susan, you are an excellent facilitator in helping people and yourself get through a lot of that just by, I've had you on this program. I've worked with you myself. You just kind of narrow right in on those particular questions that you need to ask somebody because I think you said earlier, we'll just go back to the original statement, your point of view creates your reality. And so you just zero in on, okay, what got you here? What made you? And you just said that with your own MS. So maybe what we need to do is just hone in on that a little bit with people listening going, hey, you know what? Let's make that point, guys. Let's deal with that. Your point of view creates your reality. And Joanne, when you're talking about grieving, when you're talking about moving some of the flow around of the energetic energy of the body, you got to know where that person is coming. You got to know from that point of view as well, even though you're working on them physically, because emotionally you're balancing them, especially when you're talking about grieving, and then kind of moving them away from that whole chronic inflammatory response, and they don't even know it. So we need them to promote awareness through this. So you guys, like Susan, can you help us with, say, another example that comes to mind as we're talking about this that we can kind of hone in on to let people know that their point of view really does create their own reality, and then we'll kind of take it from there and pick it apart a little bit more from each of your points of view.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, Carol. So I was speaking at Mind Body Spirit Expo, a huge convention here in Orlando, Florida. And I was standing on stage and I just said, you know, they're listening to me and I know you've got lots of listeners that are listening right now, but until you like speak about it from like their perspective, then it makes it real. So I had this, so I just stepped down, went right into the audience with the microphone and I was speaking with a woman. I said, okay, so who's got a problem here? And like all these hands went up in the audience. So I just walked over to a woman. I said, okay, so tell me what's going on. What's the problem? What's happening? And she said, well, I was in this horrible car accident and my back is, you know, has all these problems and I'm not able to work anymore. And I can't sleep at all, and I'm on this medication. And I went, wow, cool, look what you created. And the whole audience just gasped. Because, and she had a cane next to her chair, and she was being escorted with someone, and literally it was not the politically correct way of responding. Like I should have been, oh my God, I'm so sorry. That's terrible. I can't believe that happened to you. That's horrible. You must be in so much pain. Like, and what that does is that validates somebody's reality. But instead I started asking her questions. And anytime you ask a question, Carol, it always empowers you. Anything else disempowers you. So I asked her, I said, okay, before you had the car accident, before you hurt your back, what were you talking about? What was going on in your life? What was happening? And what were you dying to get out of? And she started laughing. Everyone in the audience was stunned. They're like, oh, my God, why is she going? I said, well, what are you laughing for? I'm like, "This, you know, this is pretty funny. And she said, well, I was telling everybody that I didn't want to work anymore, that I wanted to quit my job. I wanted to be able to stay at home. And I said, well, you got your wish. She was like, yeah. I said, see, your point of view created your reality. And she said, yes, it did. And it was this huge empowerment for her to take on, like, yeah, I did create that. That was created with my point of view. I didn't know how I was going to stay at home. I didn't know how I could get out of work. I thought I was going to be letting everybody down. Like, she had this whole story that backed up her point of view. It was like it was her reason and justification. It was how she was defending for it. And then she had this car accident and this reality, you know, you're supposed to go into the, oh, my goodness, you know, pain, suffering, trauma, drama. But in asking her questions, it empowered her, and it literally, she sat up straight and was like, okay, I got this.
Okay, I'm going to, and that's fabulous. I'm going to hold you right there for a minute, and I'm going to say, Paul and Joanne, now let's take that same lady, because that same lady, before they found Susan, before she found Susan, came to you guys, and then you work with them a little differently to get them out of that. And part of what I've just, what I've learned personally is, and I'm going to go back to grieving for a minute. You know, when somebody's grieving, and you can grieve for all kinds of reasons, it doesn't necessarily mean just death, but it just means that it's a loss of some sort. And this lady sounds like she was grieving because she lost her own identity in some way, shape, or form. So it absolutely led her to a point of being physically impaired. So, Joanne, Paul, how do you then see that person? I know that you guys understand and feel that they can shift and change and whatever, but how do you enlighten your patients? Let's start with Joanne.
Yeah, so one of the cool things that came to mind whenever Susan was talking was the creating reality is a lot of times I'll use, like, for every action is a reaction. And so, you know, you're pretty much, when they're filling out a form and they're telling you about, you know, everything that's going on and the history of an accident and how many years ago it was, and you see them more in that state of pain and anxiety and feeling like there's just no end to the day and everything like that, you know, the first thing we're doing is we don't jump right in, at least I don't. All the way to where Susan's able to bed it in the butt in a session, because we're there thinking more about their bodies. They're starting to come to us for more of actual body touching treatment. So, but as we work, because Paul and I both have been in it, you know, almost 30 years now, we know that they're the Susan way, that there's more behind everything that they're talking about. So when we start building the trust and getting to talk to them and then getting them to reveal and find out and figure out through us just asking certain questions, the way that Suzanne brought them all the way up to. But it might take us 1, 2, 3 sessions before, I would say, wouldn't you, Paul, before you got to that point that Susan got to and won.
Well, I think, you know, that when, you know, in the American Indian, you know, medicine man tradition, they first they ask spirit if it's okay to heal this person. And I think the reason that is that many times, you know, the disease is what's saving them. And it sounds really funny, but it is. This is how they have protected themselves. This is how they have organized their world to move through it. And to take it away sometimes will kill them, or they'll get something worse. I've seen that many times. I mean, I've got so many stories. I had a friend of mine, and she was dying of cancer, and she had gone into her liver and her bone marrow, and she wasn't producing any blood anymore, And, you know, and she was, you know, at the hospital and she wasn't going to make it out. And, you know, all my friends were around and everybody was, you know, saying, oh, poor baby. And they all left and I started yelling at her. And I told her, I said, don't do this. You cannot come out of this. You cannot leave being a victim. Okay. And I know, because I've had a long relationship with this person. I said, you know better than this. Stop it. You know, it's okay to die, but you can't go like this, okay? Because you get to do this, you know, it's like, no, this is not okay. And she was shocked. I mean, you could tell, like, her eyes got really big. And actually, I was shocked that the words were coming out of my mouth. And, you know, the next day she started producing blood and she miraculously got well. And it had nothing to do with me. I mean, had nothing to do with it, literally. You know, this is, she made a different decision. And she gets out of the hospital, and she lives another couple of years when she was not supposed to. And then, you know, when she was ready to go because she'd done everything she needed to do, then it was like, fine, and she passed. But, and I've seen this, more times than I, can, really talk about. It was just, but it's amazing the power of making a different decision, about your life. And, but I always try to be very cautious about it because, I've had people get well and then have them go do really bad things to themselves, by accident, because I didn't help them create a reality to live into. And it's really important that they have a reality to move into, what they're going to do now that they're well. How are you going to be now that you're well? Because some people don't know. They know how to move into their world.
Yeah, and yes. Paul, I'm going to put you on hold with that thought, because then we can wrap right back around to Susan. Let's go back to that lady that had the car accident and was doing all that in the seminar you were giving. And did she have a plan for wellness? Did she know what she was going to do? Did that come through at all? Because Paul makes a really good point. Just because we can help people become enlightened on how their points of view create their realities doesn't necessarily mean they know what to do with it, and it doesn't necessarily mean they have a place for which to go once they are enlightened and they can. And Paul, I'm going to go one step further and say you did have something to do with that with your friend, because you actually facilitated her into thinking differently, which is what we're talking about. So, Susan?
I take no credit.
Okay. We got that.
I want none, by the way, because as soon as I step in, I get
credit. All right, so
nothing.
Get I said it. We'll move right to Susan. Susan, what do you think? Did that lady have a path, or do you find that, do you go that far with them then later? Do you say, hey, what is your path for and I forget the terminology you use, Paul, but, did you have a plan for wellness? Where did you have an escape route? I mean, since we're on the whole metaphor of a road, did they have an escape route to being well? And if so, how do we get them there? How'd you get them there?
Yeah, cool. So, when I was talking with her, I said, let me ask you something. I said, who would you be if you were healed? Like, you woke up tomorrow and you were healed, who would you be?
Brilliant.
And it was this incredible realization that she, was this like new person, and she could choose differently, and she didn't have to choose from the same space of disabled and needing someone to drive and, walk or cane. It's like, look, okay, so you did that. Like you did unhealthy. You did sickness. You did pain. I'm like, how did that work for you? She goes, oh, not that well. I said, okay. I said, so now would you like a different possibility? So who are you going to be now that you're not that person any longer? And it was this like epiphany that she had. She's like, oh, you mean I don't have to choose this anymore? I'm like, no, you get to choose what works for you. I said, if that works for you, you can choose it. You can keep choosing that if you'd like to, or you can choose something else. So I did some clearings with her about anything that would hold that back and everything that was holding it in place. And she continued from there. But yeah, it was really phenomenal to see how people transition from everything that they've created in their world based on their injury. Like a lot of people will mark like a certain point. Like for me, I was marking the day I was diagnosed. I was like, anytime I would talk about time after that, I was like, okay, was that before I was diagnosed or after? Was that before Nick was born or after, but before the divorce or before he left? And it would mark. That's how I was marking time, was based on tragedies in my life. And so when I realized that, I know, isn't that crazy, Paul?
You. We've all, anybody who's moved through has done this. You know, I've got no judgment other than, you know, thank God you decided to move through. And me too, you know?
Yeah, and it's this awareness. And with awareness that you have another choice. It's an awareness that you can be something different. You can choose something different. You can have something different that empowers people because, you know, so long they've been told, okay, this is what you have and this is what you have to have and this is what shows up. And so, and the doctors say, this is the medication and this is the surgery and this is the treatment for it. And I'm here to say that I was on a trek after I was diagnosed and I found where science meets awareness and we're all energy. Everything is energy. And molecules are energy, and every molecule has consciousness. So we literally are in a field of quantum physics where and you've heard this a lot, what you think about, you bring about, what you think about, you talk about, what you talk about, you bring about. Well, that is so true, as well as the biblical verse, ask and ye shall receive. So we're not actually taught to ask, Carol, at all in our life. It's like you need to come to a conclusion. You need to find the answer. You need to figure it out. You need to, and we're taught to judge a whole lot. So all of those things prevent us from accessing our possibilities. So when you ask a question, it always empowers you. So that's what I did with that woman. Who would you be tomorrow if you woke up and there was absolutely no injury whatsoever? And she was able to talk to that at the show, which was phenomenal.
That's great. I want to go back to marking time, though, because, Paul, you're right. We all do it, and I was chuckling myself. I noticed that I have been doing the same thing ever since my dad died. What I'm asking you, all of you, is that when you mark time, are you saying that you're living in that moment and you're creating that scenario for yourself over and over again? Is that the point of what you're trying to say there?
Susan? Who would you like to answer that?
Yeah, exactly. Joanne, you haven't talked. I'm picking you.
Joanne. Are you still here, Joe? Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, good. Is that the point? Is that the point we're trying to make about marking time?
Susan,
I'll jump in. So when we mark time, we actually create a stopping point in our life. And when we mark time like that, it locks in your body. Like your body has a muscle memory. This will be the easiest way to kind of describe it. Like you have muscle memory. And so when you ride a bike, you can never like not know how to ride a bike. Do you know what I mean?
It's called a facilitated pathway.
Yeah, that.
It's called what?
Yeah, a facilitated pathway.
There you go. And we also have cellular memory. So we have muscular and cellular memory. So
mm-hmm.
That's pretty deep.
Yes.
So it was an emotional hotspot when I was diagnosed, when your dad passed away, when I got divorced, when the woman was in the car accident. It was an emotional like stopping point. Like your whole life revolved around that one situation, that one thing, and that locked in your body. That has a memory that's captured in your body. Same thing with car accidents and, you know, all kind of stuff. So what happens is we start to go from that point forward and back from it. And so it continues to lock that into our body at a cellular level, at a DNA level, at a, you know, emotional level. And it physically manifests itself. And it starts to do exactly what Paul and Joanne were talking about. It starts to infiltrate and affect the circulatory, the digestive, the neuro. For me, it was neural pathways. And, you know, it was just a way, if people are aware of this, you know what I mean? If you can ask, like, what's your point of view that's creating this in your life and then choose to change it, like, you're on track. And then destroy and uncreate everything that you've bought from everybody else and has locked in your body. And just breathe it out and know that you took it on in a split second and you can let go of it in a split second also, and that it no longer is required or desired to be a part of your body, to be a part of your physical makeup. And in allowing that to just dissipate and remove it from your body, your being, your aura, your reality, you actually allow yourself to have more space.
So
can I tell you the
Susan,
best things that ever happened to me? Go ahead.
I was okay. Just going to say that one of the things with when you're, I call them pockets when she's talking about that, is that a person, when they start talking about their story, that they actually can almost be all the way back to that point. So when she's, people that are listening, when she's talking about a stopping point or remembering where they were in an accident or a death of a family member or something along this, they literally, there's a smell that goes with that. There's a sight that's behind with that. And then there's feelings that are with that. And then the pain that comes with that. So each time you guys jump back on these points of time, these senses are all stimulated at that time. That's why Susan is talking about ways of correcting or helping yourself through it. And with Paul and I, we start off more with like calming their senses down and getting that anxiousness out and helping them better with their sleep so that they can start to think more out of a manic, not so much manic kind of state.
Yeah, I think, you know, transforming them. What I was going to say is I can tell you that some of the best things that ever happened for me. I had a son born with Down syndrome and heart conditions. I had my wife left me for another man. I went bankrupt. I fell 15 feet off a roof under a rock the size of my head and destroyed my back and neck. You know, I was in 5 major automobile accidents. And, you know, and I have all these, like, quote-unquote conditions that should mean that I'm, like, in pain. But I can't express my gratitude more for all of those things, you know, because that is what brought me here, and it's the understanding that this is what it took for me to wake up. And what it took for me to wake up was to have those things so that I could make different choices in my life, so that I could be aware of the choices that I made. And I could also, you know, you can transmute those things because they bring you gifts. And so I always tell people, you know, you're on the road and you have just been given a really wonderful gift. You don't know what it is yet, but you're learning to dance with it. And when you learn to dance with the gifts that you've been given, you have so much power and so much joy that you can't even fathom, like, never having had that, you know. But you can't hold on to it like, oh, look what happened to me, this bad thing. It's like, no, this is a transformational gift you've been given. But you have to unwrap it. You know, you have to embrace it in a way that you understand that it was giving you new perspective. Yes.
So, in other words, everything that happens to us, if we change our perspectives, we really do change our lives. So, Paul, all the things listed that happened to you, and I could have my own list, and I know Susan and Joanne have their lists, and everybody listening has each of their lists. And so depending on how we chose to deal with that will allow us to have our own experiences, whether they be positive, negative, or whatever. It depends on how we choose to deal with whatever we're given. Is that that would be correct? Everybody would agree with that, right?
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
And give yourself a break. I give myself some time to wallow. It's like, okay, I'm going to wallow in this for a while, but I'm not going to stay here because it's not much fun.
Right. Okay. No, and I think that's healthy. I think we need to make that point because, you know, I keep going back to grief tonight, but I'm seeing grief in this conversation in so many different ways, not just through the death of a family member, but how that cellular memory gets stuck. And now, you know, the muscular memory gets stuck and then stagnant.
And, you know, if you look at just basic homeopathy and you look at the stages of disease progression, the stagnation creates major issues. First goes to chronic and then terminal. So when we say things like that, when I say things like that, I mean
stagnancy is.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead. I'm gonna shut up.
No, you go for it. Go ahead.
No, I was just gonna say stagnancy are simply judgments. When you begin to judge something, you know, when you get into the judgment of good, this is good, or even this is bad, good, bad, it's like you don't allow it to move through, you know, and the best thing you can do is begin to observe. And when you begin to observe, you begin to see where it is you have judgments that you can let go of things. It's like, I don't need this judgment anymore. It's not mine. I don't need it. Judge not, lest you be judged. And it's like, lest ye be judged. And it's like, lest you judge yourself. You know,
Susan.
Yes.
Yeah, Paul, I'm sorry. I don't mean to cut you short. I just wanted to ask Susan, as you were talking about that, it came to me with Susan. It's like, Susan, have you ever had that? I mean, you ask questions all the time. Would you be willing to unlock and release and let go and all that? Has anyone ever said no?
Well, yeah, I've had people who would pause, or I'd have people go, well, okay, or sure. And I can tell, you know, we can all tell that it's not like, yes, I'd like to let it go. Yes, I want to get rid of it. So I'll ask them, you know, and they don't have to get rid of anything. You know, it's choice. Like, you can hold on to it. And as a facilitator, I don't have a point of view. Like, I'm just here to offer you the opportunity, the possibility to shift out of the vibrational frequency that you're functioning in, which has limitation in it. Otherwise, you would have fun, joy, abundance of magnitude in all areas of your life. And they don't. So I'll say, hey, would you be willing to give up like 10% of that? And yes or no. Okay. And they'll go, yeah, okay, 10%, 1%. I'll go down. I'll go up 10, 50%, you know, and I'll get whatever's comfortable for them and just allow them to just let go of whatever percentage they felt comfortable with. And then letting them know we can always come back to this, or you can always let it go, all of it, in the future. Like, let's just try 10% right now and we'll go from here. And it works great.
Well,
Susan, you're brilliant.
Thanks.
Yeah, absolutely. But a follow-up to that is for Joanna and Paul, in that, you know, if somebody's stuck in that 10% mode, what then do you guys – that's pretty much where, you know, you may get them, and then you're working with them, and then how do you take them maybe to, you know, 50%?
Joanna?
Paul. Okay, Joanna.
Well, me. You can start with
whomever.
Me.
Good, Joanna. Let's go with Joanna.
Okay, we'll go with Joanna. All right, Joanna.
Just the first part of it again. Take them. What were you saying? The first part.
Basically, Susan was talking about, you know, if she kind of bargains with them. Okay, let's go with 10% then. Would you be willing to give up, you know, 10% of it? Let's say she gets them to, and I'll just use 20%, and they stop and they get to the 20%. Well, they're still going to see you. They're going to come see you for their physical ailments or for things. And then how do you get them to 50%? What happens then? You know, you're picking them up at 20, and so what kinds of things do you see that you would need to do, especially if they're telling you, they're going to tell you their story, and, oh, I met this woman at this show that I was at, and she said that I chose my life. She said that I chose this. Can you believe that? I mean, why would anybody choose this? But it did make sense when she said it, and I still can't get it, but, you know, it's funny because she asked me all these weird questions, and it kind of worked, but I'm not really sure how it happened. But here I am, and I'm still hurting. So how do you take them? How do you get them to another level then?
Right. So usually when we're working with them and everything like that is is that, again, building up that trust and helping them feel comfortable. And then the story does come with it. And then through relaxing them and through some of the cranial work, so when you're balancing some of those hormones out and things on, the lymphatic starts flowing and their hydration is coming up, they think a little clearer. So then you're able to talk to them a little bit more about helping to understand, you know, what's the positive twist that can be put on this. And whether it's adding, like talking to them about things so along of helping them find like someone like you, say with nutrition and with the homeopathy aspects or aromatherapy aspects, and then whether it's exercise, and definitely the diet plan, like Paul was saying too. And then for us would be more like getting into the stretch and walking, and those, and then the sleep too, also with that. But, you know, just finding where they are physically, and where she's brought them mentally is just adding another plus to it of, balancing that up.
Okay. Paul, anything to add to that?
No, I don't. First of all, I have quit taking on that it's my job to get them anywhere, because it's not. I can't do it. I wish I could, but I can't. It's clearly up to them. And, you know, one of the things that I just love about my job is to be a loving, non-judgmental presence. And what I mean by that is a loving, non-judgmental presence. It's like, you know, a lot of times people just need you to hear them. And I don't, I mean, really hear them without judgment. You know, and really hear them and hear their heart, hear their compassion, hear their story, and just allow it to pass through you. And a lot of times that's all they need, is they just needed someone to hear them. I had a woman that came to me and she brought her mom in, and she said, "My mom keeps talking about dying, and I want you to quit her to stop talking about dying. Just have her stop," you know. And I knew that I wasn't going to talk any sense into this person, but I could talk to her mom. And so I just talked to her mom about, you know, hey, you know, and she started telling me about her life and, you know, and then how she was ready to go. And it was wonderful. And we made all these plans about how she was going to get, sell this and do that. And, you know, and what a wonderful life she'd had. And, you know, and then, you know, she went home and her daughter said, "Oh my God, I don't know what you did with my mom, but she doesn't talk about dying anymore. And she's so happy. It's wonderful." And it's like, because she talks to me about dying every week for quite a bit, about what she needs to do to prepare for it. And so many times I'm just there to just help, just like, what is it you want to do? Where do you want to move to? And let's talk about that, you know, let's move to where you want to go. And, you know, so that's, I love my job, you know, I get to just be present, and my job is to be, and, you know, it's amazing what occurs after that.
Nice. I want to remind everybody that we have just a few minutes left. If you want to ask a question, go ahead and press the number one to get in the queue for questions. We'll take we'll do them briefly just to kind of get in what we can if you really want to ask a question. I'm not seeing anything on the board for questions right now. I think everybody's just listening. And I think I'm hoping that you are, and I'm hoping that you're taking it in, and I'm hoping. Oh, here's a question. You ready, guys? So,
yes.
I'm gonna go with caller 5200.
Hi, can you hear me?
Hi.
Hello. Can you hear me? Okay, this is Sarah.
Hi, Sarah. We got you.
Cool. Well, I popped on the call kind of late, but. Man, Susan Shatzer, I really liked your question. Who would you be without whatever is going wrong, right? Without the disease, without this, whatever it was. So
yeah.
I guess my question is, like, I kind of switched. I was like, oh, who would I be if people were demanding my services? Because I realized, like, I'm pretty healthy, but I have this, I do catch myself going into, like, it is almost like a victim mentality of nobody wants what I have to offer, or nobody wants to pay what I have to offer. And I literally, like yesterday, like I'm at the barn, and the lady next at the next barn over, right over the fence, she's talking with someone. She goes, oh, I've just been so tired, I could die. And I said, are you really tired enough that you could just die? And then, well, whatever. I just keep finding people. And then, and then it was like, oh, I do this thing. It, you know, it could help with that. It just seems so. She's like, well, no, I can't. I said, yeah, it probably wouldn't help you anyway. She goes, no, it probably wouldn't. Okay, cool. So I guess my question is, like, suggestions everywhere. I'm still creating. Like
your point of view.
Yeah.
Can I jump in? Okay, cool.
Please.
So, Sarah, your point of view is nobody wants what I have to offer. Yes?
Yeah. Like, it's super awesome.
So that's creating. Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah. So that's creating your reality. So if your point of view is nobody will buy what I have or nobody wants what I have to offer, then the universe, God, source cannot bring anybody to you. So there's no way you're going to be making money. There's no way you're going to be able to expand your customer base. There's no way you're going to be able to move out of that because that's your point of view.
Right. We're at those. Yeah. Yeah. I keep. Cause
yeah.
I keep
so would you be willing to? Yeah.
Want.
Yeah. Cool. Right. So, but I mean, you're brilliant. That's amazing.
Yeah.
I mean,
creating that. Yeah. Okay. Cool. And it's not 100%. Because then the people that actually get a session, they're like, oh, my God. So,
yeah. Cool. So would you go ahead and delete this? Because true.
Sure.
Is it really true? Is there no one?
No.
Yeah. Cool, right? So you're lying to yourself. That's nice. I did it, too. It's okay.
No, we all did it. It's part of the deal. It's part of growing up.
Yeah.
It's part of growing
exactly.
through it.
Exactly. Exactly. So cool, right?
So congratulations.
So,
yay, you found a spot you can grow
through.
That's
great.
Yeah, and does it belong to
that's
you?
That's a perfect way. Wait,
Truth, does it belong to me?
For calling in, because that's the perfect way to kind of wrap up our show tonight, because you just, Susan, you did it again, you know. we've got... on the phone, you just kind of did that with her. Good for you, and it's a perfect case in point. Thank you for calling in and sharing that with us.
Yeah, and thanks, Susan. You're right. It's actually no feels light. It's not even my belief. I'm tuning in to somebody else who's thinks that's their reality.
Yeah, and what happens, Sarah, is like we hear it in our head. Or we've heard somebody else say it, and we picked up on it, and it's kind of like we think it's ours because we hear it in our head.
Yeah.
But and then we install it. Then we're like, okay, well, we heard it; it must be ours. So
and I have
then
to
we
fix
start
it,
functioning from
even.
It. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
totally.
What happens is, so your whole life starts showing up based on something that's one, a lie, and second, not even yours.
Yeah.
Like, how's that
cool.
working for you?
Oh, I'm over it. Awesome.
Yeah. Nice. So would you be willing to install, I have more than enough money and always too much to spend?
Sure, yes.
Yeah, cool. Can you feel the expansiveness of that versus nobody wants what I have to offer?
Yeah, like I'm actually a magnet for what?
Yes.
And the people just find me. I don't even know how to find me.
Yeah, they're beating the door down.
Yes.
They're desperate for your services.
Yes. Yes, expansive energy versus low vibrational energy. Yeah.
That's great.
Welcome to the upgrade.
Very good.
Have fun.
Now, on that note, guys, we're going to have to put a hold on the show now because we're pretty much out of time. So, wow. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks,
can
Sarah.
I offer a free gift?
What's that?
Sure.
Can I offer a free gift?
Sure.
Okay, cool. So on your Facebook page, Carol, is that the best place to put it? It's a no-cost 30-minute target session for anyone who would like to take a look at what specifically for them is not working and what I can help them with, like to target and where I can kind of make suggestions. So if that's something that you would be interested in, then head on over to the Whole Scoop Radio Show Facebook page. And is it okay if I post it there?
Absolutely. Thank you so much for that.
You're
that'd
welcome.
Be great.
And this will follow up with all of your listeners. Yeah, it'll take them from where you created this radio show to, like, how they can now incorporate it into their life and use it.
Perfect. I can't think of anything sillier not than to take up that offer. That is an amazing offer.
That is, I mean, I'm
really
so
is.
Grateful, Susan. Thank you. And I know that there will be people that will take you up on that offer. So please feel free to post. Feel free to interact on the blog. It's more than welcomed. We're really excited about that. Thank you.
You're welcome.
It looks like the show is ending without us. And some people are texting me telling me they got knocked off and there are less callers on the board. So if you got knocked off in any way, shape, or form, or I knocked you off in some way or whatever, I apologize for that if you're still listening. So I don't know. But I guess that's our cue. To say goodnight.
Do we get some outro music?
Yeah, let's do the outro.
Hit the
outro music. All right, guys, here comes the music. Ready? I thank you so much.
Yay, Carol.
Gonna go with that.
Thanks, Joanne.
Yeah, Joanne got knocked off, so I gave you a little music there. I'm gonna go with the outro music and. I will be talking with you guys. Thank you so much for being here. This was a fabulous show. I think we covered a lot.
Yeah, we did. Thank you, Carol.
Thanks, Carol. Bye, Paul.
Thanks, guys.
Bye, Suzanne.
All right, good to everybody. Thank you. And we're going to have Dr. Hulon on next week on the 16th.
Woo-hoo!
So join us. Okay. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.